Welcome to Fine is a Four-Letter Word, the podcast that empowers you to say, fuck being fine. Tired of being stuck in a place where you say everything's fine, when it's really not fine at all? You're not alone. I'm your host, Lori Seitz. I've been there too, and so have my guests. Here's a secret. All it takes is a conscious decision to change and then restructure beliefs so your actions take you in the right direction. That's where Fine is a Four-Letter Word comes in. Each week, you'll hear inspiring stories from people who have transformed their lives and businesses, and practical tips and takeaways to move you from spinning in place to forward action so you can create a life of joy. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to this solo episode of Fine is a Four-Letter Word. I had originally, at the beginning of the year, committed that for the months that have five Thursdays in them, the fifth Thursday was going to be a solo episode. And then I totally forgot about that in February, so we didn't have one. Or we didn't have a solo episode. We still had a fifth Friday or a fifth Thursday, but we didn't have a solo episode. So I'm going to sneak one in here in part also because some of my listeners have been asking for an update on Nomad Life. So for those of you who don't know, I left my apartment, gave up my apartment in October of 2023 and started house sitting, mostly cats, some dogs, a couple of dogs. I'll talk about that in a minute, through a website called Trusted House Sitters. And people post opportunities when they need somebody to come stay at their house and take care of their animals. And people like me who are looking for somewhere to stay, apply for them. And so I've been nomading, or as my friend Brian Mooka, past podcast guest, Brian Mooka says, yes, matting. It's more positive, he thinks. Across mostly the southeastern part of the United States. I've been in West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Florida, although I wasn't house sitting in Florida. I just went there to visit some friends and family. So that's what I've been doing for the past 6 months and posting updates. I was doing a better job of posting updates in the beginning on social, but, sometimes life just takes over and I don't do it for whatever reason. So some of my listeners have asked for an update here. So that's what this episode is. I've got it broken down into a few different categories. It's basically, what have I learned on my cat sitting journey? I've got some random observations for you, some fun discoveries, deeper learnings. I'll talk about some of the challenges I've faced. And then at the end, I'll give you the key takeaways. How do you apply what I've learned to your life? And then I've got a special treat for you at the very, very end. All right, so let's jump into it. I'll start with some random observations that have... What's that song, Apropos to Nothing? What song is that from? Uh-oh. Now that's going to be... All right, we're going to go on, and and I'm going to come back and maybe edit this part in so that I can remember what was the song, Apropos to Nothing. Random observations. People have a lot of shit in their houses. And I don't know. I mean, we're not talking hoarder situation, just... People hold on to a lot of stuff. When I left my apartment in October, I sold almost all my furniture and a lot of my stuff. So everything that I still own is either in my 5x10 storage unit in Northern Virginia, or it's in my car. And my car does not quite resemble the Beverly Hillbillies. It's not that bad, but that's all. That's all I've got. And coming into some of these houses, man, I know what it was like when I had to clean out my mom's house when she passed away 10 years ago. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff to go through. And so I'm seeing that. But it is interesting. The other interesting part about counting in stuff, a lot of these people that I am sitting for, and I'll get to that more about that in a second, have a great collection of books, which I freaking love. So, all right, people have a lot of stuff in their houses. Other observation, a lot of people do not clip their cat's claws, and those claws are freaking sharp. We would always clip our cat's claws when they got too sharp. They're indoor cats, so even though they had scratching posts, they just naturally, they get sharp, and they're like little daggers, so you got to clip them. But especially those first few houses I was cat sitting in, those cats, they were indoor cats, but it didn't look like anybody had clipped their claws. And it certainly wasn't my place to do it for a cat I don't know, but sharp claws. And yeah, I thought everybody clipped their cat's claws, but I guess not. I don't think a lot of architects are designing homes for maximum livability. Like, towel racks are in weird places in the bathroom, or they're not even in the bathroom. Like, there was a hook in one house I was in. There was a hook, one hook. That's it for bath towel, hand towel, washcloth. Like, where are you supposed to hang your towels to dry or to be able to use next to the shower? It's just odd. The layouts of some of these houses, I'm like, this is interesting. Like, it just doesn't seem like a practical use of space. And then lighting fixtures. Maybe this is just me, but I like a lot of light. I like a lot of sunlight, and I like a lot of light in the house. I'm not like a mole that likes to live in darkness underground. And so it's just weird. A lot of the places don't have, they don't have a lighting fixture in the ceiling of a room. There's just not, there's also not like lamp, a lot of bright lights and lamps and stuff, which I just find odd as well. Yeah. So the other point I was going to say about that, maybe having a lot of books. Okay. This is, oh, I might be stepping in a hornet's nest here. Homeowners I found on the Trusted House Sitter site, in my experience, tend to be on the more liberal side of politics. I'm picking that up from things I see in their house, the kind of cars they're driving, the kind of books they're reading, the publications that are coming to their houses when I collect the mail, just some of the instructions they leave. It's interesting to me. I'm not making a judgment either way. I just find it interesting. Random observations here, right? Waze, the GPS, Waze is the best at rerouting. I was driving from Lexington to Knoxville, which is, I think it was about 4 hours. And a couple hours into it, the Waze was trying to redirect me off the main highway. And I was like, what? No, this has got to be why would I do that? And I tried to change it, and it changed it back. I tried to change it again. It changed it back. I'm like, all right, I'll follow. It took me off onto this really windy, dark road. It was just getting dark, like, you know, between day and evening. It was just starting to get dark, and it took me off on this like one lane each direction road that was really windy. And I was the only car on it. And I'm like, what the hell? But soon I came upon other cars, and soon this windy, off the beaten path road came alongside the highway, so I could see the highway, and it was a parking lot, like literally a standstill. And so this detour was about an hour, and finally, when I got back on the main highway, everything was cleared up by that point. But I got to the hotel, and I said, "Hey, is something going on that? I don't remember what highway it was." And the guy didn't know, but I looked at Google is your friend. There had been a major tractor trailer overturn. Both sides of the highway were closed for hours. So grateful that I followed Waze instead of trying to think that I knew better and I'll just stay on the highway, because I would have been on there for a long time. Fun discoveries. What's going on in fun discoveries? What I have kind of discovered. All right. So I did two dog sits. One was a dog and a cat in Louisville. Super sweet dog. But he needed to go out like every couple hours. I had to take him for a walk. I got in plenty of steps, but I couldn't leave him for a long time. He was an older dog. Couldn't leave him for a long time because he couldn't hold it, and I'd come back and he had peed in the kitchen. So I couldn't really go and explore for an entire day outside of that because he had to go out. So, but super sweet dog. And then I did another dog sit in Bluffton, South Carolina in February. Again, super sweet dog. Poppy Seed's a Dalmatian. She's an older dog, really sweet dog. And dogs are just, they're just more work than cats. And so what I discovered is, or rediscovered, or reinforced, I'm a cat person. I love all animals. And I much prefer cats. They're just easier. And I also have discovered that I'm kind of a cat whisperer. Like, I can turn any cat into my friend. So when I was in Augusta, Georgia, for the week of Thanksgiving, the homeowner had told me that her cat was a one-person cat. Like, she only really liked her, and she didn't like other people. And she's a Siamese. So there you go. That's the setup. So I got there, and I just went into the, it was a studio apartment. So I went into where the bed is. I was just looking to make sure the cat was there. I wasn't looking to touch her. I wasn't looking to scare her. I wasn't looking for any interaction. Like, I just want to put eyes on it and make sure that you're in here. And she came out like she wanted to rip my face off. So her name is, she is now known as Psycho Kitty. She backed me into the bathroom. I shut the door and I was texting the homeowner and saying, I don't know if I can stay here because this cat is trying to attack me. Like, she came at me with claws and fangs, and she was scary, like crazy scary. And I said, I don't know if I can stay here. And I managed to somehow escape from the bathroom and leave for a couple hours and walk around Augusta, which is nothing to speak of, really. I was surprised there. And I came back a couple hours later, and she was nowhere to be seen, and I didn't go look for her. I was a little hesitant to sleep in that bed that night, but I did, and she just stayed in her lair and did not come out for a good 24 hours, at least not while I was there. But by the end of that week, she was coming up and kind of rubbing on my leg, and she would let me touch her head and pet her. I did not push my luck, you know, maybe for like 10, 15, 20 seconds, no more than that. But I did. I feel like I accomplished something there, that we had some kind of detente. And then when I was in Raleigh in March, I was sitting for two really super sweet cats. And I sent the homeowners a picture of Maggie in my lap. And they were surprised because apparently Maggie doesn't sit in anyone's lap, maybe theirs, but nobody else. She's never sat in anybody else's lap. And so I'm making cat friends everywhere. You know what? Another fun discovery, cat litter. There are so many different kinds of cat litter. I had no idea. I mean, I've had cats for like 30 years. And personally, I like the unscented kind of cat litter because I think it's better for the cat's respiratory system. But there's all kinds of cat litter. I had no idea. Like super light cat litter that doesn't weigh a ton. Maybe that could have saved me when I was living in my apartment and the elevators were always broken. Kind of like How I Met Your Mother. Not How I Met Your Mother. What was that show? Big Bang Theory. The elevator was always broken in every episode. That was getting to be the point in my apartment building, and I lived on the fourth floor. So I'd have to carry 40 pounds of cat litter up 83 stairs, I counted, and from the garage. Maybe that lightweight cat litter would have been a better idea. I didn't even know it existed. There's a microchip pet feeder. It's made by SurePetCare.com. I have no affiliation with it. I just went to look it up because I was so intrigued. So this microchip pet feeder opens the door to the food with, it's attached to each cat's microchip. So a different cat sit I was doing in Louisville had two cats that were, they're actually Instagram cats, Moose and Olive. And they have their own Instagram page. They're super cute. They're so adventurous. Anyway, Moose gets different food than Olive, or I'm not sure if it's different food. I can't remember. Or if Olive will eat all of Moose's food if they're not kept separate. So Moose had one of these microchip pet feeders. And so when he sticks his head under the, it's kind of like a U-shaped thing, and he sticks his head in there, the bowl of food, the cover from the food will open. But if Olive sticks her head in there, it won't. So I thought that was really ingenious. I could have used that in the past with some of my past cats. That same company, sunpetcare.com, also has microchip pet doors, which also makes tons of sense, right? So the door will only open for the microchipped cats or dogs or whatever. And so that would help prevent like raccoons and other outdoor animals that you don't want coming into your house through the pet door. Because there was a house in Lexington I was sitting at that had a pet door, and she recommended or instructed, it was more than a recommendation, that I needed to put like a lock on. They had like this, she had jerry-rigged a door closure thing for this door, that I had to do it at night at 5 o'clock because it was in the winter. So when it got dark, 5 o'clock, I had to put this board over the pet door so that raccoons didn't get in, because she had that experience in the past. And let me tell you, that is definitely not an experience I wanted to have. So I made sure to lock up the pet door. Oh, man. All right. Other fun discoveries. Public libraries are, I love public libraries to start with, but public libraries are a great place to go for a quiet space for a Zoom meeting. They have private rooms and you don't have to have a library card. You could just walk in and ask if you could use one of the study rooms if it's open. And I've used them in a couple of different places in Northern Virginia and in, where was I? Louisville, Lexington, somewhere. I think it was Louisville. For recording podcast episodes, actually, or doing Zoom meetings. And they have high-speed Wi-Fi, and it works great. So chocolate, another benefit of public libraries. Meeting up with people I've only known virtually. That's not, well, I guess that's kind of a fun discovery. It's just a fun thing I've been doing. It's one of the reasons why I set out on this adventure, was to be able to meet people in different cities that I've only known through online networking or virtual, you know, Zoom meetings. So I got to meet Leslie McShane, who's the podcast host of Redesigning Midlife Conversation. I had been a guest on her show. I got to meet Greg Kuhn. He's the podcast host of Manifest the Big Stuff, another one I had been on his show. Tara LaFon Gooch, she and I just had lunch recently, last week, in Greensboro, North Carolina. She is a TEDx speaker and author of How to Grasp Confidence and Your Own Power. Her TEDx speech is outstanding. She's going to be an upcoming guest on the show, because when we got together and had lunch at this really cool vegan burger restaurant, I got to learn more about her and her story. And I was like, hey, would you want to be a guest on my show? So she is going to do that. Brian Hilliard, he's a speaker, coach, and author. He actually has been one of my speaking coaches, and he lives near Raleigh. So we got together for lunch one day, and he introduced me to an amazing Mediterranean restaurant in Raleigh. So that has been super fun, and I put this out there. If you're listening and you're in a city that I'm coming to, I would love to meet up with you in person. That would be so much fun. All right, let's get into the deeper learnings, because there is, it's been fun and it's given me an opportunity to really put into practice, to really learn, or to really get these concepts, to internalize these concepts that we often hear and we go, yeah, yeah, I know that. I know it consciously, but I haven't integrated it really deep into who I am. Like, on some level, I don't know if it would quote unquote work for me. Okay. So the biggest lesson I have learned on this journey is having faith in everything, having faith everything is always working out for me, and trusting the universe has my back. And again, I've heard it a million times in my life, and I believed it on a surface level, but I had not experienced it to the degree that I have this time. I mean, so many examples of having to stay in faith, to tapping into and following my intuition. I know my daily meditation practice fuels this. There's no other way to get to tap into your intuition in the way that I talk about, other than getting quiet enough to hear your own inner voice. And I do that through meditation. A lot of people I know do that through meditation. I highly recommend meditation. And there are many different forms of meditation that a lot of people don't necessarily think of as meditation. And I will talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But that getting quiet enough to hear your own inner voice and then tapping into and following the intuition downloads. Wayne Dyer had said many years ago that prayer is us talking to God and intuition is God talking to us. Following the intuition. Let me give you a few examples of how that's played out on this journey for me. So I was in Florida. I had been to a plant medicine conference in Orlando. And my original plan was to go from there down to my dad's in South Florida to visit. But some things got a little twisted and the plan didn't play out the way I had expected it to. So I was kind of in limbo going, all right, well, where am I going now? And for some reason, I reached out to my friend Camille, she has a place in Marco Island. She and I grew up across the street from each other. And we've kind of stayed in touch, like we text each other on birthdays, but that's pretty much it. And so when she had texted me on my birthday, she said something about being in Marco Island. So I messaged her and said, hey, are you still down there? And it turns out she was. And I said, hey, I think I might be heading down that way. Maybe we can get together. And she invited me to stay at her condo, which, oh my gosh, like I wasn't messaging her to say, hey, can I stay with you? But she made the invitation. And like I said, we've only tangentially been in touch with each other for years. And it was so much fun. Like, it was so great to reconnect with her. And I stayed there 2 nights. And I am so grateful for that hospitality that she showed me. And it was really just kind of following a hunch. Hey, let me reach out to Camille, see if she's still in Marco. And then something similar happened a few days later when I reached out to my friend Sharon Smith, who we had originally connected through Clubhouse. Remember Clubhouse? I know it's still out there, but a lot of people aren't on it anymore. Anyway, Sharon and I had met up one time in person in the summer of 2022. She lives in South Florida. And so I was over that way. I messaged her, said, hey, want to get together for lunch? And it turned out she was available for lunch. So we did. We were sitting there and I said, yeah, I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight because, you know, I'm doing this. This is the week has been playing out. She's like, well, I have a guest room and you're welcome to stay if you like. So I had the pleasure and honor and so much gratitude for being able to stay with her for one night. And what we discussed in our time together while I was staying at her apartment led to her recommending this book called It's Not Your Money by Tasha Silver. Oh my gosh, this book is amazing. I will put a link to it in the show notes, but it also includes, it also includes this abundance prayer in it. And that abundance prayer, I think, has created an additional level of grounding for me, of being able to stay grounded and calm no matter what the situation. That also led to an introduction to Melissa, who lives in Raleigh. So when I was in Raleigh, I got to meet a friend of Sharon's, Melissa, and we got to have lunch together and talk about Raleigh because I was like, I don't know where to stay around here. I was looking for an Airbnb after the first cat sit. And so she helped me with that. Like, the right people are always showing up at the right time. And that has been really, really fun. Let's talk a second about the staying in faith. When I was in Wilmington, North Carolina, at the middle of February, middle to end of February, I was there for a week. I was in an Airbnb, and I was driving back from Whole Foods. I was about a mile from the Airbnb. I don't even know exactly what led to the start of the events, but I slammed on the brakes to avoid hitting the car in front of me at a red light. And I swerved to the right. My brakes locked up. I avoided the accident. My brakes locked up and the car would not move. So instead of getting angry, I mean, I was a little frustrated. I was like, why is it locked up? I'm sitting here in six lanes of traffic and my car is just sitting there. So I call USAA, my roadside assistance. They send roadside assistance. I get a message, text message that says they'll be there in like 90 to 120 minutes. Okay, it's just starting to get dark in the evening and I'm sitting in lane five of six lanes of traffic about 1,000 yards from an major intersection. So I just sat there kind of in gratitude that a tow truck driver is coming, but I also got the nudge to call and just say, hey, I saw that this is how long it's going to take. Is that actually how long it's going to take? And the woman did, the dispatcher was said, yeah, it is. But where exactly are you? And I explained it. And she said, well, you know, let me call my driver and see if he can get there early. I think he's kind of close to where you are. That's what happened. He ended up showing up. It did not take 2 hours. He showed up. It took him a long time to figure out how to get my car on the tow truck on the flatbed because one of the front wheels and one of the back wheels were locked up. So he couldn't just drag it. Long story short, we were a mile from the Hyundai dealer, a mile from the Airbnb I was staying in. He dropped off my car at the dealership because I didn't know where else to take it. So he dropped it off there. And then he asked me how I was getting back to the Airbnb. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just call a Lyft. And he's like, no, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'll just drop you off there because it's right around here. I mean, all of these things, I just was in so much gratitude. I got back to the Airbnb and I just started crying because it was tears sort of frustration and a little bit of fear because that was a scary thing that happened. And just so much gratitude for everything the way it transpired. And there's more to that story. I was originally quoted $5,200 to do all the things that needed to be done, which was brake calipers, brake pads, and rotors. Long story short, I ended up leaving Wilmington having paid a total. And then I also needed a new front tire because when he had to drag the car onto the flatbed, it damaged the tire. So all of that ended up costing me $1,900. Again, so much gratitude for everybody who was involved in helping me fix that situation. So staying in gratitude for everything, when even though it's easy to be angry and frustrated with situations like that or situations that are even more serious than that, can you find gratitude somewhere in the situation and stay in that feeling of gratitude? Paying attention to subtle nudges and allowing guidance. I did an interview, upcoming podcast episode, with my friend Brad Chandler. And after the show, we were talking off recording. And for some reason, he mentioned the book, The Way of Miracles. There's a book, and then there's also a video documentary on, what's it on? Amazon Prime. That's also called Way of Miracles. So I watched that. I got the book. And the day after I got the book, I was already in South Carolina at that point. I got the nudge to Google natural healthcare practitioner because the author of Way of Miracles, that's the title he uses for himself. Mark Minkola is the author of The Way of Miracles. So I Googled natural healthcare practitioner and it led me to this doctor right there in Bluffton, South Carolina, where I was. Like, I couldn't believe it. And he had an appointment open and I got in to see him. And I am, again, so grateful for a treatment that he's given me to take care of an issue that I'm not going to discuss right now. But but so much gratitude. Like, oh my gosh, this guy is right here and I'm right here. Subtle nudges and allowing myself to be guided to the right thing. I get an email newsletter. I get lots of email newsletters. I'm sure you do too. I don't always read them. So for some reason, I was guided to read this one and it led to a book called Storyworthy, which is going to really help me in my speaking. These are all the things that come from listening to those subtle nudges and following the guidance you're getting from them. Moving on to the challenges, because there have been, and I'm not even talking about the challenges like my car issues. I'm talking about challenges, overall challenges of living nomad life. So one of the things that's funny, people have asked me about, don't you miss not having your own bed to sleep in, or don't you miss not having your own home? And I don't. I really don't. Every single bed I've slept in, whether it's been in a house sit or an Airbnb or a hotel, all really comfortable. I've slept really well. Don't miss that at all. One of the things that has been a big challenge, though, is I'm doing everything alone. So I'm in these cool new cities like Charlotte and Raleigh and Lexington and Louisville, and I'm exploring by myself. It's cool. I love my own company. I am perfectly happy in my own company. And sometimes it would just be nice to have somebody else to go, hey, look at that cool thing. Or like, the sunset is awesome tonight. It's been really hard. Even though I've been getting together with people for lunch or for coffee or whatever, it's different. So that's been a big challenge. Not having a local community online is not the same. Like, not having a local community of people to hang out with. My friend Debbie lives in a community called Hampton Lakes in Bluffton. And there's always something going on. There's wine club, there's bunco, there's pickleball, there's women's club. There's always something where you can connect with other people in person and have conversations and experiences. And I really miss that. And then the third thing is the lack of consistent gym workouts. Yes, I could join a gym like Planet Fitness that has locations all over the place, but they're not always convenient. Like, again, going back to Bluffton, there's a Planet Fitness there, but it's 30 minutes away. So I am extremely grateful for, I'm recording this episode in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I found an amazing gym. It's called O2 Fitness. And they have a 21-day free trial. So I have used that. I've already been there 4 days. Love it. I'm so, again, grateful that I put it out to the universe. Hey, I'd really like to have a place to do some consistent workouts, and found this place. It's less than 2 miles from where I'm staying. And it's a beautiful gym. I would love to work out there like forever. How do you apply what I've been talking about to your life? Because I've been talking about my life, but how do you apply it to your life? So in the past 2 weeks, 2 people have told me about deaths of people who are very close to them. My sister-in-law Kim's uncle Stan, who I also knew, passed away from a heart attack. And then last night I was talking to my friend Janine, and one of her very close neighbors, Jerry, also passed away from a heart attack. Now, both of these men were a little bit older, but my point is, life is finite. We don't know how long we have. Take the chances your heart is telling you to take, but your brain is afraid of, because your brain is trying to keep you safe from anything. Saber-toothed tigers, you know, evolutionarily, saber-toothed tigers or raptors, or I don't know, anything that would tear you limb from limb. But it's still doing its same job, even when those kinds of threats are not in your life. Take the chances. Let yourself be happy. Let yourself pursue things that bring you joy. Too many times I see people saying, well, I can't do that. A lot of people have said to me, man, you're so brave. You have so much courage to do that. I can never do that in terms of living nomad life, giving up my apartment, giving up most of my stuff and doing this as a single woman on the road, which, by the way, not scary at all. Like, pay attention to what's going on around you. It's not scary. Anyway, can you let yourself be happy, or are you going to be stuck in the idea, in the story that you're telling yourself that I can't do that? And maybe do that is not live nomad life. Maybe it's whatever it is. I can't leave my job. I can't move to that new city. I can't take that vacation because. Well, what if you could? Why don't you let yourself start thinking about what if you could? How would that feel? How would that look? What needs to happen to allow that to happen, to allow yourself to have that happiness, to experience that happiness? This isn't a dress rehearsal. This is life. And at the same time, give yourself grace when something doesn't go the way you expected it to. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't shame yourself. Give yourself grace the same way you would for your best friend. Allow yourself the time to connect with your inner voice. It's always talking to you. It's always leading you in the right direction. You're just not always listening. I promise you, life becomes easier when you do that. If you're not sure what the right way for you is, because it's not always traditional meditation, as I've mentioned, reach out to me. I am happy to help you figure it out. If you'd like to follow along more on my nomad journeys, I invite you to connect with me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, or on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. And I will make a more concerted effort to do a better job of posting updates on my on my cat sitting journeys. I'm going to leave you with the abundance prayer from Tasha Silver's It's Not Your Money book. Take care. Have an awesome day.
Divine Beloved, allow me to give with complete ease and abundance, knowing that you are the ultimate source of all. Let me be an easy, open conduit for your prosperity. Let me trust that all my own needs are always met in amazing ways, and that it's safe to give freely as my heart guides. And equally, let me feel wildly open to receiving. May I know my own value, beauty, and worthiness without question. Let me allow others the supreme pleasure of giving to me. May I feel worthy to receive in every possible way. Change me into one who can fully love, forgive, and accept myself, so I may carry your light without restriction. Let everything that needs to go, go. Let everything that needs to come, come. I am utterly your own. You are me. I am you. We are one. All is well.
Thanks for listening to Fine is a Four-Letter Word. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow and share it with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform to help others discover it too. You can find links to my socials on my website, zenrabbit.com. And before you go, take a moment to reflect on what you're grateful for today. Remember, you have the power to create a life you love, and I'm proud of you. Thanks for joining me. Take care.